The hashtag is typically used to promote a social media post for personal gain and a few other reasons. There is a hashtag out there, however, which has quickly grown into a source of empowerment and support for victims of sexual assault. That's the hashtag MeToo, T-O-O. And one of the most frequent locations of sexual assault is the college campus. Have those colleges responded to this trend? Is that response an effective and fair one? With us now to discuss this is Rowan University's Associate Director of Counseling and Psychological Services, Dr. Amy Hoke. Thanks for being here today, Doctor.
Thank you for having me.
And learn more about Rowan University, the educational opportunities and programs they offer, Rowan, R-O-W-A-N, .edu. And as I said in the intro, college campuses are a prime location for sexual assault. Is there any, survey and poll will vary to a degree, but how high is the frequency of sexual assaults in colleges today?
Well, the statistic that really has been shown historically to be accurate over time is about 1 in 5 females. The statistics on males may be less accurate because males may be less likely to report that. We also know that those who are identified as LGBTQ students are at even greater risk throughout their lifetime because their identity may be used against them to take advantage of them, or they may be less likely to come out because of what's happened to them. So it's a real public health issue, we feel.
And just to better define the term, too, when we say the 1 in 5 women sexually assaulted, mm-hmm. does that include the attempt and the act, or just the act?
It is the act. So to your point, there are reports that an act has happened. That would be 1 in 5. There may be many other situations that never get reported that are attempts, or where someone feels uncomfortable, where someone does something and it doesn't rise to the level of a sexual assault or a rape, which are defined differently. And as I said, then they go unreported.
And with that in mind, too, and certainly in your area of expertise, how common or how diverse is the trauma caused by the assault versus the trauma that, for some, is caused by reporting the assault?
Well, I think what you're alluding to is sometimes what we call kind of rape culture. You know, really, this issue starts way before college often. You know, we as a society, this is an issue that we often don't want to talk about. It's an issue that can start in childhood when we don't teach kids, the correct names for their private parts. There's an embarrassment about this issue, and we often avoid talking about this because of the discomfort around it. And then we know that there are 1 in 3 females and 1 in 6 males that are sexually abused in their lifetime. And if you are sexually abused as a child, you are more likely to be victimized in college or between that age of 15 and 24. That's actually the time when somebody's most at risk. So there's this culture of, not talking about it in a way that actually supports victims. When we talk only about, don't go out without someone, avoid these areas, don't drink something that somebody gives you, we put the onus on the potential victim. And if they don't do those things or they do something different, we often will blame the victim for potentially causing this to happen. And so that means people are less likely to report it at any age. And we're also less likely to actually put our time and energy into things like bystander intervention, where we can educate, everyone in the community about what they can look for in terms of perpetration and what they can do if they see something that doesn't feel right.
Oh, Dr. Amy Hoke, who is Rowan University's Associate Director of Counseling and Psychological Services. Rowan University's website is rowan.edu, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Is one of the areas where colleges have better addressed this in at the time of orientation?
Yeah, well, I think ever since, President Obama had put together a task force that looked at this issue and actually charged universities with attending to this in a much broader way, investigating it when reports are made, and that investigation happening by somebody who has some expertise in that, and then doing much more prevention and awareness as you're saying, right, from the point of orientation, from the point when students enter, we at Rowan talk to parents. We have a whole session on Title IX, sexual violence awareness and prevention. And then we also talk to the students at the point of entry. And then we make a point to not just talk about it once, you know, at the point of entry, but to be talking about it throughout the year, doing events like sexual assault awareness events in April, because that's Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
And there are some colleges here in New Jersey and elsewhere, too. I mean, California, I think it's a law, actually. They basically took the idea of no means no, which wasn't really proven to be effective, because it just seemed to be in some assaulters' minds a little more, a little too abstract to yes means yes. There was a definite affirmative consent, I think, was the term.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, you know, again, I think relying on no from someone who may have been put into a situation in a very intentional way, that maybe they are intoxicated in some way, maybe they've been isolated from their friends or a party, and then expect that if they don't say no under those circumstances, that means yes. And we know that that's difficult for, you know, adolescents and young adults to speak up for themselves. And then when actually perpetrators look for, you know, vulnerable victims, and those can be freshmen, those can be those who are intoxicated, those can be those people who are isolated, we know that that sets up a situation that we can't just expect that if they, you know, don't say no, that means they're consenting. That's not what consent is. So we are really talking to students about, you know, being able to say yes, talking to someone about, you know, what you want to do and what you don't want to do and how that would be a part of a healthy relationship, to be able to, you know, set those limits and talk about what you're okay with and what you're not okay with.
You mentioned the working term is sexual assault tribunals that colleges have as a result of the 2011 mandate, which few changes came down under the Trump administration, but by and large, those mandates are still in effect.
Correct.
Some of the critics say that only because there's no consistency in the training, it's almost, this might sound odd, it's almost like the sport of professional boxing. There's no governing body, so every promotion has its own little hows, whys, and what ifs. That too many of those tribunals come to the verdict and then try to create the path to the verdict. Is that a fair criticism? And not overall, but in some cases?
Well, yes. I think that when the charge came down for universities to address this, there is no best practice, because there hasn't been enough research done in this area to really look at what is the best practice of investigation on a college campus. You know, you have public safety entities, you have local law enforcement, you have prosecutors in a particular district, you have then individuals on a college campus, and college campuses have been left with little support to know, you know, who do we identify as someone who's doing these investigations, who sit on the hearing boards. We have to provide training to those hearing boards so that they understand the dynamics of sexual assault. So there's equity in terms of fairness to both the alleged victim and the alleged perpetrator, and that they receive communication about the process, you know, informed consent about what's going to happen if an investigation happens. So, you know, every university has a different amount of resources that they can put to this. And when charged with having to come up with, you know, actually personnel that are going to be following this charge through, has been difficult. The American College Health Association has, over the past, you know, 6 years, really tried to look at guidelines for this. They are just putting out a toolkit this year that speaks to this issue about what are best practices we know of at this point, and then, you know, going forward, what's the research that we have to do to really look at this so that we can attend to it in, you know, a way that's evidence-based.
But given the fact, if you compare today versus 10 years ago, there has been indeed a significant amount of progress, and the hashtag MeToo is certainly furthering the conversation, bringing this into the light. Uncomfortable as it may be for some, it's not as uncomfortable as it is for a victim of sexual assault, whether it be in the college campus or workplace or anywhere else that should happen. Learn more about the educational programs over Rowan University. The website is rowan.edu. I've been joined by their associate director of Counseling and Psychological Service, Dr. Amy Hulk. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the attention to this issue.